America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Tuesday reminds you, the weekend is even closer than yesterday. That kind of positive thinking is what makes the American Adversaries Drive Time. The best in political professional wrestling and truth wrangling. All this thanks to AM 660, The Answer, and the Mercury Free Studio. I'm Blair Adams. And we're told, don't you dare call Bo Bergdahl a deserter. He hasn't been convicted by the military yet. He may be just another innocent pawn of evil American aggression. One thing is absolutely sure, that if the military does find him guilty, and no matter the evidence, I don't see that happening, President Obama will be there so fast with a presidential pardon, you'll think light speed has been surpassed. Oh, I beg your pardon. Our host is the evidence man himself, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you very much there, Blair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us on this sort of damp afternoon here. Just be careful. There may be some showers out there. Nothing serious, though, I don't think. But we're serious here, that's for sure. And we are the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time, and we are on AM 660. The Answer, coming to you live, blasting up and down I-4 like never before from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't you forget, for the best in mercury-free dentistry, please call my dear friend Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. We got a lot to talk about with you here today, and but you can be a part of the conversation too. You know that. 407-774-8255 is our number. Before I let it get off the tip of my tongue, though, and we get started formally with the show, I just want to give you a heads up. Or for some of you, a warning. We will be preempted by the Tampa Rays from AM 660, The Answer, Thursday. Not tomorrow, but Thursday we will be. That's for sure. And for sure, we will be preempted one more time during our Drive Time slot this season, and that will be in August, August the 6th. However, there are several other games, the next one being Monday, that start real early. So we think that they'll be over by the time we go up for airtime. For instance, the game Monday starts at 1:10 in the afternoon. So that should hopefully be, of course, the way these guys have been playing this year, nothing's, of course, in baseball, nothing for sure.
But, 17, 18 innings.
Well, it's just that they are playing very slow and losing in a very miserable fashion quite often. But that doesn't mean they can't turn it around, and we hope that they do. But anyway, for sure, Thursday we will be preempted, so you'll have to listen to us on your smart device. And of course, you can go to iTunes and download us, or of course, you can always listen to am660theanswer.com wherever you are, and you don't have to worry about the terrestrial signal. Because by baseball rules, they can only use the terrestrial signal and not the internet signal. So we'll still be doing the show, and we'll still be doing it live, but you won't be able to hear us through the airwaves. And but we will be back, of course, on Friday. All right, let's get down to business. I want to talk about Bo just in a minute, but first I want to talk about the president. You know, I got a little riddle for you. By the way, folks, I am Christopher Hart. That was Blair Adams, and we've got Scott Sturgill in the studio with us, sitting right here next to me. Scott, go ahead and say hello to everybody, please.
Good afternoon. afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Okay, yeah, there's your mic. Scott is going to join us formally here in a few minutes, and Scott's running for Florida House District 30, and so we're going to sort of grill him today. But before we put him on the fire, I want to talk a little bit about the president. You know, so I got a little riddle for you guys. What do you get when you stick Barack Obama and a Pollock in a room by themselves together? No answers? No guesses? A moron and a Pollock. Because what we have for the president of the United States is he's the coldest-hearted, most narcissistic person to come along in history, or he is a moron. He stood there in Poland today in a press conference and told the world that the war is over. Yeah, that's right. The war is over. Now, presumably, he's just talking about the war in Afghanistan. But I can't presume that with this president, because I don't think that he either fathoms, refuses to recognize, or perhaps is complicit in, some might say, the Islamic terrorists' extremists' war against the United States and the West in general. And no, it's not over. Not by a long shot. And the war in Afghanistan is not over. Not by a long shot. And then he has the audacity, in comparing what he did with Bo Bergdahl to what George Washington did, what Abraham Lincoln did, what Franklin Delano Roosevelt would have done and was done after World War II, and that is that we trade the prisoners. Well, the only problem with that comparison is they won their wars, Mr. President. It was a decisive victory, sir. With documentation signed by all the big wigs and all that good stuff? You got none of that, man. All you got is your opinion. And although the enemy are only too happy to hear it, they will be only too more than happy to take advantage of it. This has been the problem that we've had with this war from the beginning. And I must say, George Bush was a little bit better, but he wasn't so great about it either. They are not describing in proper detail, shall we say, what we're up against here. You got more, if you listened to our show yesterday when we talked with Abe Katzman about what's going on, than you're ever going to get from this Looney Tune. And more people are beginning to notice now. But I'm beginning to be convinced more and more that what we're going to see for the next 2 years from this president, and we got it yesterday a little bit with the EPA too, is that he is going to, the best of his ability, he is going to shape the world the way he thinks it should be. And everybody else, just get out of your way, get out of the way, you know, or get on with him or be damned. And then what he's going to do when he walks out of office, he's going to be basically saying, look at me, I have made the world perfect. And then, of course, we're all going to know that it's not. But the first thing that he's going to be able to say is, well, I left it that way. Whoever came along behind me messed it all up. Look what he's done in Afghanistan. All the troops will be gone by the end of 2016. Well, what's going to happen the very first month of 2017? We inaugurate a new president. The new president's hands are now tied in the war, which is going to continue. We will continue to see the atrocities committed by this side, just like this happening in Iraq. They'll continue in Afghanistan, but it won't be a big deal in the media over here because we won't have any troops over there. Yeah, it will all be over. But mark my words, these guys are not going to rest. They are not going to rest at all. And for Barack Obama then to also assure us that, oh no, we'll keep an eye on these guys, the Qataris, they got them under surveillance, these five terrorist detainees who were handed over. That's just another illusion. The Qataris announced today that they'll have free movement within Qatar. Their families will be there with them, which of course means that they'll also have other associates there with them who can come and go freely from the country. And then after 1 year, then what? Are we to assume that they have been rehabilitated? Well, what is the success rate for rehabilitation in Gitmo? probably don't have any figures there. So let's look at the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Perhaps they can give us some statistics as to the recidivism rate. I would suspect that amongst this type of character, it would be quite high. So, now that we have this problem, what do we do about it? Well, the Republicans should, in my opinion, tell Barack Obama, do whatever you can by yourself, because we're not going to participate in any of this. And in the meantime, we are going to investigate every move that you make. We're going to make your life miserable from here on out. And they should go to the American public and explain why. In my opinion, Larry, do you remember when George H.W. Bush was president? There was a congressman, I believe his name was Gonzalez, from California. And basically every night he would stand up in the House of Representatives and he would go on and on. Usually it was a conspiracy how George W. Bush was flown by an SR-71. Tireless.
It was tireless.
Perfect word. Well, instead of tireless Republicans, we got a bunch of fat, lazy, good-for-nothing pieces of you-know-what. They need to make Barack Obama's life miserable. And when the press comes scurrying to them, jabbing their mics in their face, asking them why, tell them because this president has gotten out of hand in his actions. He has gone way over the deep end. And we feel that it is more important to do what we can to save this country, even if it puts our political lives at risk. And I guarantee you, if they'll do that, they'll get a lot more support than they'll ever get by just being, wishy-washy. And one week they're, talking tough, and the next week they're telling off their own side. I'm so sick and tired of that. I'm sick and tired of Barack Obama, but I'm more sick and tired of the Republicans who will not stand up to the man. He's given them ample opportunity to stand up and be principled people. When are they going to do it? All right, well, we got to take a break. I see that. So when we come back, we'll be joined by Scott Sturgill. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. We are the American Adversaries, and 407-774-8255 is the number. Real quickly, we are up on Ustream.tv, and Lucas is going to be here Thursday. So even though we won't be on the air, you'll be able to watch us on Ustream.tv, thanks to our intern, Lucas. Okay, I want to...
We'll do sign language that day.
I want to get to Scott Sturgill here in just a minute. But first, I have Jerry on the line, so let's take Jerry's phone call. Jerry, thank you for listening.
How you doing? Good to hear you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I wanted to, bring it down a notch. You get a little wound up there.
Do I do that?
No, I like it. That's good. You're
passing. Thank you.
I just wanted to bring up something. We got a guy captive in Mexico right now.
Yeah.
That he's talking about and everything. I just wanted to offer up. We could trade $12 million illegal alien for him.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm sorry I haven't been able to talk about this as much as I'd like to. But you would think that now this president's the one who's going around now, and of course, I never heard this phrase, when the Benghazi thing is in being talked about, but how we don't leave anyone behind, right?
Yeah.
Well, what about this guy down there? You would think that now Mexico is supposedly a friend and ally of ours, right?
Yeah.
You would think that we would be able to work something out with these people, that we could take him and... if nothing else, put him in custody here until we get the situation straightened out rather than having him in custody down there.
Yeah, but he needed to be punished, Chris, because he had guns.
Well, that's
what this administration, I think, is saying, is he went down there and he had guns.
Unfortunately, right. Jerry, I think Lair is absolutely right.
You're right, and they're just idiots. They're zealots. I've got friends that have worked for Obama, and... He's always, they have that kind of an agenda, and they always will default back to that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, which is why it's so very important that we work as hard as we can to get these guys out of town and don't let them come back. Jerry, thank you very much. I hope you'll be coming back to listen to us more. Hey, Jerry, are you still there?
Yes.
Have you ever gotten a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics?
Actually, I have.
Oh, I hope it's working for you.
I'm also DQ'd on that deal. So.
Okay. You got it, man.
That stuff is the best.
It sure is. Larry's got a great testimonial we're going to give you later. All right, Jerry, thank you again
for
being out there. Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Now I want to go to Scott Sturgill. Now, Scott's been on our show before. But I believe it was on one of those preempted days, if I'm not mistaken, it might have been. But anyway, Scott's back with us, and we'll have him back again in the future. But he's running for the Florida House. He is a Republican. He's run for District 30. I'll let him tell you where that is here in just a minute. He does have a primary candidate, and I'll tell you, let him tell you who that is. And then there's the person holding that seat right now is a Democrat. So he's got like a three-step process here, well, two steps, to get to the seat. So, Scott Sturgill, thanks for being back with us.
Thank you for having me today.
First of all, who you run against in the primary, and then once you get through the primary, assuming you do, who would you run against in the general election?
Sure. In the primary for House 30, we're running against Bob Cortez, who's a Longwood commissioner.
Yep.
Nice guy. Just philosophically have some differences about, you know, what the district needs, and whereas we have a clear plan for the district and how to create jobs, and Bob is just kind of running on the same old mantra, better schools, you know,
okay,
better jobs.
All right, well, we'll get that in a second. One of you is going to win the primary. Who's waiting for you in the general election?
Well, we're going to go and take on Karen Castor-Dennell in the general. She is the Democratic incumbent who won the seat back in 2012.
And now she's got a couple more terms that she can serve before she gets term limited, I believe, at least one more term anyway.
Well, the Florida House allows four two-year terms,
four,
so
that's
eight
right.
years total, but yeah, we want to just get her out after one term. That's plenty.
Yeah, that'd be plenty, yeah. However, she's got some pretty good backing.
She does. She comes from, you know, what I guess is considered Florida Democratic royalty.
Yeah, Castors.
Castors. Her mom's a former education secretary of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Her sister,
the first woman secretary of education.
Yeah, her sister is a congresswoman over in Tampa, and then her stepdad, Sam Bell, was one of two people who was going to be Speaker of the Florida House who was eliminated before he was able to take office. So,
yeah,
you know, they got some history there.
Yeah.
What do you bring to the table?
Yeah, I was.
Well, I bring to the table is I'm a fourth generation Seminole County resident. I'm a small business owner. I own a company called Durable Safety.
Have you run for anything before?
I have. I ran in 2012 at the urging of several fellow small business owners and, you know, Seminole County residents who wanted me to run for Soil and Water Commission, which is a nonpartisan race. It's a countywide race. And I won it with 55% of the vote, being second on the ballot, which was kind of unheard of for someone first time out and about.
Yeah, and I have to say it is because, you know, that's not, be honest with you, it's something people pay a lot of attention to in the election process. So a lot of times they'll just, they see a name they like, or they'll just name, you know, vote for the first name or not at all.
Correct, yeah. So we're already actually...
In other words, a lot of people knew who you were.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have pretty good name ID. I mean, you know, again, every state house guy thinks he has good name ID. But you know, we're continuing to be involved in our community. You know, my wife and I serve on several charity boards here. You know, it's not about just giving money to these charities. It's about actually putting in time and caring about your community and leaving kind of a legacy.
Okay. I want to grill you on some issues, but I see we don't have time in this segment. But... What you started to talk about your difference between you and Bob Cortez. You say you have a plan and he doesn't.
Correct.
Specify a little bit more what you meant by that, please.
Our plan is to go ahead and, you know, keep focusing on the modeling and simulation area out by UCF. We're fortunate Orlando has all four branches of the military here doing modeling and simulation training.
Right. Yes.
There is some lure from Huntsville, Alabama to lure the military to there. Essentially, the military wants basically free rent at a cost of about $60 million. Mm. The economic impact right now is $5 billion to our region here. Now, while the modeling and simulation area is not here in the district, a lot of the people who work there live in the district. And with an average salary of $90,000, there's no way we can let those jobs get away here. So we have to look at it as a regional, you know, impact versus, you know, specifically on the districts.
So you're saying that just differentiates you between Bob Cortez?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at specific jobs about how are we going to keep the military here? How are we going to keep all those, you know, access companies here that support?
It's how you spice up the pot, right?
Correct, yeah. You know, versus, you know, just going off the regular campaign mantra of we need more jobs. Well, anyone can say that, but you got to have a plan of how you're going to keep it here.
Have you guys debated at all? Or you plan to?
We've had a couple debates here and there. We've got obviously some more with some of the different Republican women's groups that are coming up here throughout the summer.
Okay, so you guys are having some face-offs.
Correct.
Okay. All right, folks, we're going to face off or go to the break anyway.
Well, that's because we have the best guests anybody has at Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. We are their American
and
adversaries.
By the way, Scott has some breaking news that I'll let him break for us. Actually, I got some breaking news when we get back.
Well, they're going to have to wait. Everybody has to wait because we will.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Okay, folks. Hi, I'm Christopher Hart for SoundbiteRx.com. Let me just give you a little rundown of the great news stories brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. They've got a great story from the UK Daily Mail detailing in quite some extent the prisoner exchange and the nature of these characters who were released. Did you know that one of them was an opiate drug lord and another one was a close friend of Osama bin Laden? Oh, well. And then the New York Post wrote another scathing article about it. That you'll find both of those at soundbiterx.com today. You'll find a great article detailing the EPA's new regulations that were released yesterday seeking a 30% reduction in CO2 emissions over the next couple of decades. You'll find a great article in there about so-called climate change and how Barack Obama is falling back. In a way, it's smart for him politically on the basics, what, you know, the red meat that his supporters like. You'll also find this is a fascinating article about Saudi Arabia. You know, the king over there is quite old, and it won't be very much longer that he will be with us. And he has named as his successor a son named Mukran. Unfortunately, Mukran, M-U-Q-R-I-N, is not, shall we say, a legitimate son. He's the son of a concubine. Oh, well, they got big problems coming in Saudi Arabia, that's for sure, because there are a lot of sons who want to be the next king of Saudi Arabia. You can find that at soundbiterx.com. You find also an article detailing the accounts of some fellow platoon members of Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who was promoted while he was in captivity, strangely enough. There's a lot more that I can't get to right now, folks. Please go to soundbiterx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
Ho! Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
And yes, the American adversaries always dwell into the deepest mysteries of life. The latest mystery is we tried to find someone in Orlando who has not tried Roxy Pacifics. So we found one. We looked high and low, and we found Gary, who has a comment, by the way, about the Obama administration. But Gary would like to try some Roxy Pacifics. Gary, sir, we are the angels of Roxy, and you're going to get one. Good to talk with you tonight, buddy.
I wanted it last week, man.
Oh, well, you're going to get it.
Oh,
all right. Well, we're going to get it. It'll be all. Go ahead.
You get my blood boil when I heard you about Obama. This guy is not a moron. This guy knows exactly what he's doing. This is what he wanted to do. He said lots of what he wanted to do. I like to call him names, which I can't use right now on the radio. I think we probably can figure out what I'm trying to tell him.
I empathize with you there. You know,
$15 a gallon. He said that many times.
Yeah.
He wrecked the economy. He knew exactly what he's doing. He would wreck it, and he's doing a really good job on it. Foreign policy, the laws. You don't care about the laws, the Constitution. You don't care about anybody.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're saying.
Smart SOB is moron.
I'm sorry. I don't think he's brilliant. I think he's protected. Just by everything this man is, he has the golden shield of protection that protects him against all these things, and you're absolutely right, Gary.
Gary, let me tell you where I'm coming from with this.
I cannot believe that he's a moron because, you know, all this action he's taking, he knows, he has to know that against the, you know, like in energy. I mean, you can't do what he was trying to do and not to impact all this $10 gallon prison in the five.
Okay. Let me, if I can, let me tell you where I'm coming from. I understand what you're saying. And you're right. It's not like he's bumbling along and he doesn't have a plan. You're absolutely right. He knows what he's doing. But that's where I say, that's where he reveals that he, and ultimately he is a moron. And when I say this, I'm not direct. Let me just say that all liberals and Marxists have a great degree of imbecility. What I mean by that is they actually believe that they can do what they're saying that they can. And all the costs and things, they don't pay attention to those. All they're focused on is the end. Well, of course, the end never comes about. And so they end up always blaming someone else. They don't see that they are incapable. He believes that he knows what he's doing. And he believes that what he's doing is in some fashion right and correct. And to me, that proves that he's not very smart at all. Because no one who is very smart would be that, let's just say, arrogant and so full of himself. A smart person wouldn't be like that. A clever, sinister person maybe, but not a smart person, not a person with wisdom. I hope that maybe I clarified a little bit where I'm coming from, okay. Gary.
I'm getting your point, but I still...
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you.
And listen, one more thing before I let you go. He's like, hey, if we give them four, what is it, a couple of more terms, and we'll be the fourth world country, not third world.
You're right. You're right. I mean, this is it. This is it, babies. This is it, now or never.
And be sure to stay on the line so that Nick can get your information for that bottle
Nick's,
of Roxy.
Yeah, Nick's got him all set. Thank you, Nick. Nicholas Cicero. All right, Nostradamus is on the line. I want to bring Nostradamus in on this, but then I want to quiz Scott with some stuff here. Nostradamus.
Yeah, you know, if you remember back in January, the folks at Central Florida Mensa Group were kind enough to allow me into their quarterly meeting.
Into their midst.
To talk to them. Give a little talk about talk radio. I am not a Mensa member. I'm not smart enough for that. But these people were smart and didn't feel the need to rub their smartness in to everybody who didn't meet up to their intellectual standard. A smart person doesn't keep reminding you how smart he is.
And a smart person wouldn't keep getting himself into a whole lot of trouble that he needs an adoring media basically to cover up the mess
and
for him.
And a smart person knows things can change.
Exactly. Exactly.
Amen.
All right. All right. Dennis, I want you to participate in this too, but I want to kind of grill Scott Sturgill a little bit here because if you do get elected to the Florida House, there are going to be some very important issues that you're going to have to deal with. The incoming House and Senate leaders have both said that they're going to push real hard for some sort of water bill for restoration and conservation. I had the opportunity at the Coalition for Property Rights meeting, luncheon Friday, to hear the Secretary of the Department of Environmental Protection here speak briefly, and I spoke with him after the meeting. And he said they're going to rely a lot on science. But now you'll be in there, and it'll be a political process. What's your feeling taken into that?
I mean, there's certainly a lot of political pressure on it. I mean, Senator Simmons ran a Springs bill this year.
Yep.
Speaker-designate Chris Foley, you know, is obviously he's a big ag guy, you know, from the Brevard County. Yep. He's going to be pushing on it.
But they've already announced that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, water rights is very important.
All right, well, are you on board with them and their version of it, or are you going to be a little bit more cautious?
I'm going to be a little bit more cautious. You know, I'm one who kind of wants to look at everything from about 30,000 feet. Let me get the whole picture before I make the decision, but I'm a little bit more cautious right now.
Well, the one thing that...
Because I am concerned about property rights, because, you know, there is some issues here.
And, well, one thing that concerns... Well, that, too, but one thing that concerns me about this whole debate is the lack of science in this debate. For instance, the bill that Simmons was pushing through, they were relying on a study that had to do with septic tanks that was done a number of years ago, and the number of septic tanks in the study was three.
Mm-hmm.
Three septic tanks. And they call that science? I mean, you're going to be presented with a lot of stuff that people call science. What are you going to fall back on when somebody comes to you and says, look at this, look at this scientific study here?
You know, what we've been doing is developing our own network of professionals in each industry, because let's face it, lobbyists don't always tell you, you know, the whole truth. Let's be real. You know, so what we've done is we developed our own, you know, network of professionals, that because there's too many bills that go through the legislative process in a 60-day session that no legislator can read them all. You just can't. There's not enough time in the day. You know, so we're going to be sending that off to our own experts to take a look at it and help develop the questions, because, again, we're there to represent our people, not a party.
I mean, and everyone wants a clean environment, but at what point does it tax people who are already right now overtaxed? No one's making a bundle. Nobody's putting money back in their savings anymore right now. And to come across with more taxes, more regulation, more things that people are going to have to do to upgrade their properties or whatever, I don't see the plus here.
Sure. I mean, everyone likes a good environment. Let's face it. If we have a nice place to property values do rise if you have a nice place to live. I mean, if you look at Seminole County, I mean, we have a lot of green space. Property values stay high. But, you know, again, you know, with that Springs bill, with the septic tank one you're talking about, where they're trying to basically eliminate septic tanks.
Right.
A lot of people don't have 15, 20 grand just kind of sitting on the side to be able to hook into a sewer system. And let's face it, I'm on septic, and I got to tell you, I mean, my bills are a lot lower than, you know, than my neighbors from, you know,
and there are environmentalists to say that the individual septic tank is far better for the environment.
But I got to tell you, I got some green grass, you know, where my drain field is. So,
All right. Another hot topic is going to be Common Core. Now, supposedly it's a done deal, but there are states across the nation now who are backing out of Common Core. It started with Illinois. Mike Pence, the governor there, who could possibly be a presidential candidate. Now it's Oklahoma is got waiting on the governor's desk for him to sign. And there are two other states that I can't think of off the top of my head.
Indiana's definitely one of them.
Yes. Thank you, Nostradamus. You're absolutely right. What's your feeling about Common Core? Are you ready to get it on out of here? Are you a believer in it? Where do you stand on it?
I'm actually ready to get it on out of here. We don't need it. You mean our decisions are best made by our local school boards that we elect?
Well, according to them, that's what you get under Common Core.
Then why do we need school board members? There's five in Seminole County and, I don't know, what, it's eight in Orange County?
Yeah,
that's a lot of tax dollars we can save then.
I like that response. So you're not sold on it at all.
I'm not sold. Well, there's too much misinformation still out there.
Well, then their next question, is going to be, if you're talking to a liberal group, then what would you do in its place? I mean, you want our kids to be getting stupider and stupider?
Are you going to stay with FCAT? That's been the big, you know, oh, no, not FCAT. That was so bad.
What about school choice?
I'm a big believer in school choice. I like school choice. You know, if schools aren't performing, let's give the parents a choice to take advantage. You know, where we're at is I don't believe that we should be teaching with what we're doing with FCAT is we're teaching to a test. Now, I teach junior achievement every year in the schools. The teachers are basically teaching for the test, and in the last month of school, they're letting the kids watch videos because there's nothing for the teachers to do. I mean, why are we not testing these kids every 9 weeks to see where they're at? And then if they are falling behind, it lets the teacher be able to bring them back up to speed.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Nostradamus, do you have a question for Scott?
Yeah, first you were talking about that scientific study about septic tanks. Little breaking news. 2 out of 3 Americans say the president should resign over his handling of the VA scandal. I know this because I interviewed 3 people. And you and Larry both said, yeah, by all means.
And that has directly to do with septic tanks because, the VA is, you know, it's kind of like a big septic tank for Barack Obama.
That's for sure. All right,
I do have a serious question for Scott, though. You might know, Christopher Hart is a big proponent of legalizing marijuana. What's your take on that?
You know, I have a wife with multiple sclerosis, you know, so I look at any options there are, you know, because let's face it, some of the medicines are extremely harmful. Now, medical marijuana, smoking it is the novelty. That's not how it delivers a good reaction. You know, you can take it in a pill format.
Yeah, Charlotte's Web has
Charlotte's
done a
Web,
lot,
yeah.
Yeah, which is the non-get high form of it. It doesn't have much THC in it.
Well, it sounds like you're for certain restrictions. If we do allow medical marijuana, it's not like it's everywhere. It should be restricted and
correct. I think there's the proper procedures we can put in place, but not just, having it at Colorado. That's crazy.
Does this amendment that we'll be voting on in November allow the legislature enough leeway to organize it in a fashion that it doesn't turn out like California or something like that?
I don't think so. I mean, the way that the constitutional amendment is written, it's so open that technically any physician can prescribe it. Doesn't say they have to be a medical doctor. It just says a physician.
And being a constitutional amendment, it would be hard for the legislature to restrict it.
It'd be harder for to restrict it.
All right. Just as a side... I was just going to say,
Scott, I'm not a doctor, but I have played one on the radio. And I would recommend...
All right. Well, really quickly before you get to that, just as a side note, Nostradamus, I wanted to use this on WTF Sunday night. Did you know that the United States House of Representatives voted to... allow states who have legalized marijuana and medical marijuana not to be subject to the federal laws?
Did that just happen today? I haven't heard that.
Happened Friday. About 60 Republicans sided with about 170 Democrats. But to say that it even got to the floor means that John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, you know, allowed that to happen. I thought that was worthy of WTF news.
All the polls say that even in blue states and red states, more and more people are accepting the widespread use of marijuana.
All right.
Well, Dr. Lehr here to tell you about something else that you don't have to worry about because it's totally legal and it's totally natural.
And totally effective.
That's right. That is Roxy Pacifics. Now, I've got a tip for you. If you know someone with acne, and I'm not going to tell you about a family member that I love dearly that I have, but she is now suffering. She's growing up and suffering the effects of acne. Let me tell you a little tip. Even for adults, spray your face first with Roxy Pacifics, if you're a woman, even if you're a guy, before you put your makeup on. But go ahead and spray it on. It'll absorb right into the skin. It will protect you. It's incredible what it does. And again, it's one of the best things you will find for acne. Write this down, 619-654-4829. Any part of your skin, throat, eyes, you name it, Roxy Pacifics is the best. You should always have it. Do not run out. 619-654-4829.
And we're back. That's right, folks. The American Adversary is 407-774-8255 is the number. I want to go back to Nostradamus on the line. Nostradamus, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Before we go back to Scott Sturgill, you had a couple of pretty interesting stories I wanted to touch on. First of all, how about I've got it down here in my note, BO's rainbows in June. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Barack Obama's declaration about the month of June.
No, I didn't hear that. What?
Oh, yes.
You didn't see tip seven? Lair's got it here. Wait just a second.
Obama declares June lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Pride Month.
Well, he's following the lead of Disney because it is Gay Week at Disney this week.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
For the 8th.
Yeah, yes, yeah, it sure
yes,
is.
Yes,
we just got it from the authority.
It's everyone on his list. I didn't say that. I did.
Like I said.
Okay, I did.
Yeah, he's getting back to trying to please his base. If you will. All right. I know I surprised you with that one, but this one now was a surprise to me when I first heard about it, and I asked you to look into it. I've got it down in my outline here as a Sterling story.
Yes, Donald Sterling walks into a black church. No, wait, I'm not telling a joke. There's no punchline. This is serious. On Sunday, Donald Sterling walked into the Praises of Zion Baptist Church in South L.A., and sat in on a two-hour service. He arrived there with bodyguards. In general, he got a good reception. When he walked in, one member of the 30 people present for the service was upset and took his children and walked out, which leads me to wonder, if you go to church and you're in a church and you see someone walk in who you know is a sinner, wouldn't you be glad they're there?
Is that where the word pious comes in, Dennis?
Yeah. Holier than thou, I think, is the term I was thinking of.
Yeah, I understood that the pastor sort of gave a sermon of forgiveness and redemption, didn't he?
That's right. And, you know, Sterling, you got to give him credit for going there. I mean, we keep on saying that Republican candidates need to visit the inner cities. They need to visit and meet with the NAACP. If nothing else, than to let them know that they know they're there, because I think blacks feel invisible to white politicians.
Go into the lion's den, right?
Well, in this case, I must say that I was pleasantly surprised that the reception that he got. I mean, they didn't try to throw him out; they basically welcomed him in, and I just thought, you know. I, in a general sense, and Carl Jackson, as a matter of fact, in a specific sense, in regard to Sterling, have been saying forgiveness is something this country needs a whole lot of right now. And so anytime I see a little bit of it, I like to point it out.
Yeah, now TMZ was there. Harvey Levin sent his cameras over there. And they were wondering, he went to church, but why would he do this? He's got nothing to gain from it. Yeah, the only thing he's got to gain from it is forgiveness.
An eternal life.
Well, that's
life.
A good point, Dennis.
Eternal life. All right, Dennis, I'm going to have to let you go. We're just about out of time. Thanks a lot.
The guy, what's the guy going to do, make 30 friends? No, you know, he's a multimillionaire. No, you're right, redemption.
Okay. And we can always get it. Scott, one reason why I brought that up is, you know, social issues. We talked about the marijuana one, but gay marriage is out there. You know, social issues, you're a Republican. Are you going to stand strong on conservative values, or are you a little bit more libertarian in your leanings?
No, I'm probably more libertarian. You know, obviously I have my personal views, but I'm not here to judge anyone. You know, my God teaches me, you don't judge anyone. Yeah, everyone has to answer for their own decisions, you know, in their lifetime, but... You know, I think that's been the problem with the Republican Party is, you know, we preach, you know, less government, but then we want to tell everyone how to do it in their bedrooms. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, and I think that's part of what's driven away the young people from the Republican Party is, you know, we preach this, you know, let's tell you everything to do. Whereas I'm not here to judge anyone.
Okay, last question. Sure. What about abortion? Are you more libertarian leaning when it comes to that too?
I'm against abortion.
So you would not be against trying to restrict like late-term abortions and things of that nature?
You know, I kind of follow the Mitt Romney, you know, plan that he had laid out. You know, but for me personally, I'm totally against abortion.
Okay. All right. We're just about out of time, but Rick's been holding, so I want to go to Rick, who's been holding on the line. Thanks, Rick, for calling.
Hey, regarding Obama's comment, we don't leave our men and women behind.
Yeah.
He said we don't leave our men and women in uniform behind. So those people in Benghazi, Marine sergeant in Mexico, they're not in uniform, so heck with them.
Yeah, I think our ambassador was in a golf shirt or something, you know?
Oh, boy. Well...
It's a good point, though, Rick.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, these people are devilishly clever in the way they say things. All right. Okay, thanks, Rick. We appreciate you being out there. And, of course, we thank all of you folks for being with us tonight. Scott Sturgill, where can people find out more about you and help you out?
They can find us on our website at scottsturgill.com. They can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/electscottsturgill or on Twitter at @Scott_Sturgill.
Please sell Sturgill.
Sturgill.
Okay, so that's Scott Sturgill. Sturgill.com, scottsturgill.com, and Facebook is Elect Scott.
Elect Scott Sturgill, and Twitter at @Scott_Sturgill.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Scott, for sitting in with us tonight and answering our questions honestly and straightforwardly. We appreciate that very much. And good luck to you and your run.
Thank you.
All right. And, folks, don't forget, we will be here tomorrow, but Thursday night, if you tune in on your car radio, you may not be able to pick us up because unless they're rained out or something, the Tampa Bay Rays will be playing Thursday afternoon. And you'll have to find us on at AM660, The Answer, or on your smart device by downloading us at iTunes or go get the free app at the App Store for AM660, The Answer.
Well, normally you can always find us here from 5 to 6 o'clock during the week and 5 to 8 o'clock, of course, on Sunday nights for our 3-hour tour. We are the American Adversaries, and we also love to have your input because you are the best audience on planet Earth. I don't know if we've developed that or if we just got lucky. So always give us a call, 407-774-8255.